If you have the Word of God with you, please take the Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Last week we were looking at the fact that we are made in three parts. You've heard me expound on that many times. God made a spirit, soul, and body. In our bodies we have different organs, factories that will compute data. And this data will go into our soul, in our soul capacity. In our soul capacity, there's three components there, which is intellect, emotion, and will. And down at the very core of who we are, our heart of hearts is our spirit. That's who we are. Now, understanding this, you can understand how the devil attacks you when it comes to sin. You can understand how you can have bad behavioral responses. That definitely will affect relationships. It will tell us how the devil attacks us or lures us and gets us out of God's will. It is a very good thing, great thing to know if you're a parent trying to parent and pastor the heart of your child. You and I have to understand how God made us, and because the devil certainly knows how he made us, and he will do everything he can to subvert the working of God in our heart and our life, and use all these things against us that God has given us to use for His glory. So, understanding out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Matthew chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 16, and Jesus said, "Are ye also without understanding?" And this is just what I was saying. The Pharisees claimed to know everything there is to know about the God. They were supposed to be the professional elite teaching on the things of God. But Jesus Christ come along and said, "Hey, are you also yet without understanding? Don't you understand it's not on the outside, the things on the outside that defile a man?" He said, "Let's get down to the root of the matter here and understand where all the problems that we have in life, the things that God has to take us through to chastise us, why He has to do that is because of this right here in verse number 18. We'll start here. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Key word here. Come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, evil thoughts. You ever had an evil thought? You ever wished an evil upon somebody? Or wished somebody, "Oh, I wish they stumped their toe. Or I wish that guy run off the road because he passed me too fast and nearly ran me off the road." Whatever the case may be, you have evil thoughts towards someone. This is because our hearts are evil. This is where all this comes from. Murderers, they don't have psychological problems. I hate to tell the judge that. They don't have psychological problems. They have a heart problem. The people that want to ban all the guns in the world, the guns are not the problem. It's the heart behind the gun that is the problem. And we're spending bukus, may I say that, excuse me, but we spend an astronomical amount of tax money unnecessarily because those programs are never going to help people. But the Word of God is and will do that for people. And it's all free. That's the great thing about it. And it'd be great if Congress and the Senate would get a hold of this and start saying, "Hey, you know what? We've drifted from God. Maybe we need to get back because we're just teaching kids and teaching people to be a bunch of wild heathens." And that's exactly what's going on in this country of ours. I understand sin's always been prevalent, but it's becoming more. It's becoming the run of the mill thing. It's becoming okay, and that's what we want to talk about today. Understanding the heart and how we can keep the heart sensitive to God's spirit, to God's leading working in our lives. Now, out of this heart comes also adulteries. In other words, here we have marital problems right here. You see, you cannot get away from any facet of life that your heart does not have the capacity to affect and does affect in these capacities. So we have marital problems right here. Then we have thefts. You know why people steal? They have a heart problem. You ever been burglarized? Anybody ever been burglarized? I've burglarized. It's not a fun thing by far. But out of all, why do the people do that? People say, "Well, it's Christmas time. People steal." No, their heart's not right. You see, all these things come from a heart that is not right. You understand this? May I say, prior law enforcement officer here, I'm all for getting drugs off the street, but I'm here to tell you, drug abuse resistance education is not a viable option to do so. You cannot educate people in their evil heart. It does no good. It doesn't work. False witness. When we have a desire to blaspheme or say something negative towards someone else, we know we don't have all the facts or whatever the case may be. When we bear false witness or we just gotta say it, it's probably because we have something against that person in our heart. That's why we do those things. You see, out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Every one of them. Every one of them. Notice right here, blasphemies. That's when we just take things out of context and really blaspheme people, blaspheme God. Notice verse 20. These are the things which defile a man. This is what Jesus said. These are the things which defile a man. Now, the world does not believe they are defiled, but you and I believe we're defiled people. We believe when Adam sinned, that sin nature was passed down through humanity, right? And we believe we are defiled people, and our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we know, and that's what we believe. We don't believe because mom and daddy said so. We believe because something happened in our hearts when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. I don't have a think-so salvation as you do. We have a know-so, right? Ain't God good? We have this from the Word of God. Now, I want you to flip over real quick. We cover this a little bit in the Sunday evening service, 1 John chapter number 2. I want you to notice here, this is kind of where we're going here. I'm going to take my red magic marker. No, I'm not writing a love note to my wife. You know what that is, right? That's a heart. No, I'm not in high school. You did that in high school. Tell the truth. Come on now. Put a heart on it. Yeah, most of you girls, you guys will never raise your hand, will you? How many of you guys carved that in a tree? Right? We never did. We didn't do that stuff, did we, guys? No. Right here's the heart. Right here's the heart. If you are saved here today, there is another person that is in your heart. In other words, God made a spirit, soul, body. And our spirit is where the Holy Spirit of God comes and He dwells. And the Apostle Paul said we're sealed until the day of redemption. He's always going to be there. The problem is how much are we going to let Him have control of our heart? The Bible says in James, the book of James, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. He lusteth to envy. In other words, He desires total control of this heart. The things that you and I have gone through life and made decisions on, it doesn't matter if we make a decision on who we marry, what car we buy, where we go to school. You take all the decisions, every decision we make from A to Z. We pray and ask God to help us with these decisions. You take all the behavior, the responses that you get when people may vex you, make you angry. All of these things, all the components of life come down to heart. Come down to the heart, right? How we treat people, how we talk to people. All these things come back down to the heart of the matter, right? Now, notice here in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what is this saying? In other words, Jesus Christ must be your goal, not the world, not the things of the world, but Jesus Christ must be the preeminent person in our life. By the way, preeminence doesn't mean Jesus is number one, everything else is number two, three, four, five. It just simply means Jesus Christ is number one, and that's it. That's it. Okay? You don't get confused about putting things, well, Jesus number one, I got something number two. No, we're to live for Jesus Christ. We're to live for Him. We're bought with His blood. We're not our own. He paid the great price of buying us on the cross of Calvary. That's what redemption is. He entered into the slave market and bought us, brought us out. Now, when we're saved. We have a great tendency to let part of our heart still control and behave us. In other words, how many times you ever mama says, you're misbehaving? You ever had that? Come on now. How many of you had your mama say, you're misbehaving? Right? I ain't misbehaving. And yes, you are. So we come down to this right here. Your decisions, your behavioral responses, what you do with your time, what you do with your money, what you do with your energy, what you do with your life, how you view life, how you view everything, everything in life is going to come down to this right here. Notice this. For all, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now let's write this down. Okay? When you make a decision, or when you speak, whatever the case may be, it's going to come from one or two databases in your heart. Now, here's the databases. Number one here is what? Lust of the flesh. Okay? We're going to write flesh right here. Okay? When someone makes a decision, you get in Bible college and ask somebody, Brother Mark, you may attest to this. Now, what are you looking for in a life's mate? You're going to be a preacher. So, well, I wanted to be spiritual, and the instructor say, oh, you quit lying. You want, number one, you want to be beautiful. Right? Am I telling the truth? Yeah. So we have here lust of the what? Flesh. And then we have the lust of the, what's this? Eyes, right? You with me? Okay. Then we have what? The pride of what? Life. The pride of life. Now notice here, pride of life. Young people making decisions, you need to know how your heart's going to work, how your mind and heart's going to work. Now, given your eye gate and ear gate and everything's going there is going to definitely make a decision and influence these. But when you make a decision, when you respond to somebody, speak to someone, all of your... this is the old man, by the way. Let's write old man over here. Okay? Your decisions, what you think, how you think, where you go, your energy, everything is going to be governed right here. Right here. This is the old man. The lust of the flesh... You see young people making decisions, lust of the flesh. Huh? What is it? What does it do? It destroys their life. Let's go to Romans 8. Real quick, please. Hold your place here. Romans chapter 8. Let's pick up something here. Are you all awake? Are you? Sometimes people have a very busy Saturday and they come to church tired. I just kind of sense y'all a little bit tired this morning. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 8, let's look at this right here. Let's go to verse number 5. Let's just go to Romans 8, 5. Notice here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the what? Flesh. They do mind the things of the flesh. This is why folks are not that concerned about being seeing folks come to Christ. This is not that why folks are not that concerned about being in church. I'm just being honest with you. They, the people are in the flesh, they're concerned about the natural things that please the natural man's heart. Okay? It doesn't mean they're out robbing banks. It just simply means that the Word of God is true. They are in the flesh. They're Christian people who mind the things of the flesh. They're not that concerned about the things of God. I was there at one point in time in my life. I'm not derailing anybody. I certainly was. Not proud of it. But notice here in verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh. In other words, this is what they're after. They that are after the flesh. You ever seen somebody in a hurry or a police car chasing someone? Guess what? You see a car flying down the road and a cop following? They're after somebody. You know, you're after something in this world. You know that? Yeah. It just all depends on what you're after. Now, be careful for what you're after because God has a say-so about something that we're after. Be careful. Notice what he says. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Now listen, you and I as adults don't have mom and dad come and say, look, your heart's not right. Look, your attitude's not right. Look, this shouldn't be in your life, little Johnny. Now we should be adults, mature, right? And so what we have to understand is, and be honest with ourselves, is ask ourselves, what are we after in this life? And most of us in this room today say, well, we're after Jesus Christ. We're in church, Pastor. Come on. I mean, okay, really. I've learned something. You can be in church and not really be after Jesus Christ. You can do that. I've done that. Now notice, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, after things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Now see, God says, look here, be careful what you're after. Be careful what you're after. Because people who make decisions based on flesh, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or even pride of life, the outcome of all of that is death. And here is why we have so many relationship failures in our society today. This is why we're having so many kids getting burnt out on drugs and sex and everything else. That all of this is being commercialized, pumped at them. This is why we're not seeing people in church like they should, and America is drifting further and further away from God, all because the carnal mind desires these things to be fulfilled. We desire these things. People desire these things. The Christian even desires these things. But listen, folks, Paul said, now, things ought to be different. Amen? Things should be different now. We shouldn't be minded the lust of the flesh or going after the lust of the eyes or even the pride of life. The pride of life. We shouldn't be after those things. Notice what he says here. Because, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Listen, Christian, you can be saved here today, but still be functioning in a carnal capacity and not understanding why, may I say, and I'm saying this metaphorically, okay, the cosmos have not lined up for you and things aren't happening for you. Things just seem like prayers are hitting the ceiling and falling back down. Things are not transpiring. Relationships aren't happening. You're praying for people and you're not understanding why God won't do something in their life. And it's all because God says, look, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to work on you. What's that song kids sing? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. You see, and we all of us, you and I both have to just be honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves before the Lord. Keeping our heart right with the Lord. Now notice here, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot do what? I don't know about you, but I have no intentions of blessing my children. No intentions of blessing my children when they don't please me. Do you? I have no intentions of doing that. But I want to. And I can't help but to think that the good parents want to bless their kids. But I also can't understand why God doesn't bless at times when we ask Him to. You know, James had something to say about that. You know that? He had something to say about that. Let's go to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3 this morning and look what James had to say about this right here. Chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4 first. I know I told you 3, but let's go on and go to chapter 4. From hence comes wars, verse 1, and fighting among you, right? Whom they not hence, even of your, what's this word? Lust, that war in your members. What's your members? Your eyes, your mind, all these components we just talked about, your spirit, your soul, and body. Your members. Why? You desire these things in your heart that should not be there. It governs your thought life. It governs your direction in life. It governs your ambitions, your direction, your energy, your money. And this is why things don't work out. And you know what I've found out? There's a lot of people middle-aged now scratching their heads. And you know what? I just now coming to figure out, I don't know what life's all about. You've seen people like that? And they're smart people. They're good people. Even successful people in many areas. But they're coming to a point, you know what? I don't know if I really know what life's all about. Notice here what he says. Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Ye have not because you what? Ask not. And then he goes on to say, okay, you ask, but notice here, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Note here, upon your what? Lust. Right here. The antidote to the selfish heart is the cross of Calvary. That's the only thing that's going to cure that heart. The antidote to self is the love of God and the cross of Calvary. That's the only thing that's going to take this heart and transpose it over here and recreate, regene the heart for God and His glory. Notice this. I want you to notice something right here. The lust that you have and I have in our heart is no different, no less wicked than anything that Hitler or Stalin or anybody else ever had in theirs. Because lust is lust is lust is lust. You understand that? Because the desire that you and I have and the desires that we have that stem from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to God it's all wicked. It's all wicked. And a carnal Christian or a Christian that has not undergone a heart transplant, quote unquote, will always function or go back from here to here, from this side to this side, from this side to this side. God doesn't want it that way. By the way, while I'm on that, let's go down here to verse number 8. God says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. What does He mean by this? Notice right here. Double-minded, going from here to here, here to here. The world calls that bipolarism. God calls it sin. Now, I'm going to say this again. If I jumped up and did a flip, I can't. But if I could, would you get this? Because I keep saying this, and I hear folks come back and use words, terms that the world uses. Listen, you're not going to get victory over things in your life unless you call it what God calls it. Amen. Stop using these terms, bipolarism and all this other stuff, and just call it what it is. It's lust. Amen. Because bipolarism, you can go over here to the doctor and get a pill and numb you, never cure you, numb you, but if you call it lust, friend, you can go to Jesus and get a cure. You see? And God's people are buying into this. I have a problem, I got to go over here. I'm not faulting anybody. And if that's you, listen, I want you to really get a hold of this. Okay? God loves you. He has a plan for you. You are somebody special. He loves you with all His heart, and He wants to do a work there. Okay? And if God's people start getting the ear that what the world teaches, we're never going to know the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about God setting you free from things. You understand? This is something that the world is trying to cram down even Christian people's throat. And if they keep doing this, we might just throw the book away. Really. If we keep listening to them, oh, you have a problem? Let's go over here. Let me help you. No, God is our help. God is our help. The Lord is our help. Double-minded, okay? He says, listen, purify your hearts. So the problem here isn't the fact that we have a mental problem. The problem here in our society, and even with some of God's own people, is the fact that we have a heart problem. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, you give God your heart, He will get the kinks out of your head. That's true. Amen. You give God your heart, He'll get the kinks out of the head. Now notice here. Let's go back up here to verse number 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. That's desire. Now notice here. Then he goes back into what Jesus was referring to. It affects relationships. You adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And that's metaphorical speech talking about the fact when our hearts are not one with Christ, we're committing adultery. True. If you read the Old Testament, it's full of it. God accused Israel time and time again from not being faithful as a wayward spouse, okay? So we understand this, but it does affect the relationship here. Verse number 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy? In other words, look, the Holy Spirit wants to control the flesh. The Holy Spirit wants to control the eyes. The Holy Spirit wants to take that pride and turn it into humility. The Holy Spirit wants to take our energy. The Holy Spirit wants to take our tongue. The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our lives, in our relationships, where we don't blaspheme, we don't steal, we don't do these things that Christ, where Christ said, these things out of the heart, defile a man. Now I want you to notice here, let's go back to chapter number 3. And notice here, verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it setteth on fire of hell. Notice here, but the tongue, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Listen, you cannot educate your tongue, but God can. It says no man can tame it. It didn't say God could not. No man can tame the tongue. You know what the tongue does when it's full of lust of the flesh? It'll say things it should never have said. Right? You know what it'll do, what a tongue will do when it's full, it's letting the lust of the eyes dictate the circumstance? It will say things. Yeah, I'll buy that car. You know, you don't need one. You got five already. You see what I'm saying? The pride of life. They're insulting me and I'm going to get back at them. You don't insult me. Do you know who I am? I'm nobody, but you don't know that. You see, the pride of life right here. And when all that happens, the tongue begins to do what? Spew its venom out. You see, all these things come from the evil heart and the evil side of the Christian's heart. Let's go on down. Let's go on down. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Listen, we have saving grace, don't we? If you're saved here today, you have the saving grace. God can give more grace to have this kind of work done in our hearts. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In other words, we just get right with God. In other words, we just come clean with the Lord. In other words, we just be honest with ourselves. He said, Lord, I function. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But a lot of my decisions come from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. A lot of the things I say to people come from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even though we're heaven-bound, friends, we can still be walking after the Spirit. And in our Christian life, as Paul said back in Romans 8, it's a dead letter. It's a dead letter. Oh God, let us have the vibrant Christian life. Amen. Let us have that. How was all that there? While we're here in the New Testament, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. verse number 22. Now, if we behave, think, give our attention, desires to the things that the world does, we speak the way the world speaks, does is the way the world does, and they will certainly tell you it's okay. We're not going to have this work done in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4, notice here. I want you to go to verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, in other words, behave, because you behave a certain way is because what's in our heart, right? Walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now I want you to drop down to verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that's behavior, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful what? So notice right here, if we're functioning off this, we're living a life of what? Lust, which is deceitful. We're living a life of deceit, and we don't even know it. Self-deceit is the worst kind. And that's why I say some people get down through life's road. And say, I hear the Bible, I've been in church, but I look at my life and I think, you might not even know I've ever been in church the way it looks sometimes, the way I act sometimes. You know why that is? We're saved, but we've been functioning off this side. You see? And God wants all that heart. The Spirit that dwelleth in you, lusteth to envy. He wants all of that right there. I think we ought to give it to Him. Don't you? Notice here, as we go on down to verse 20, He says, but ye have not so learned what? Now, without taking the time to go back there, 1 John chapter 22, it says, if you don't have the love of the Father in your heart, you see, and I'm going to write holy love up here because I'm not talking about this kind of love that lets people do whatever they want to. Holy love. God is what? Holy? Amen. I was going to get there, but I was going to go love first. God is holy and He is love. God is light. But don't forget, He is holy. He is love. If you take love without the holy, you're not going to have a light. You're going to have a lust. You see, and God is all of this embodied in one. And this is what He wants transposed in our hearts here on this earth. Notice here what He says. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, consorting according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. See that? And the mind controls has a very is the database that reasons with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We reason it out, whatever that decision may be. All right. Verse 24, and put on the new man, which is after God, and is, what's this word? Created. Listen, you are a creation, right? Didn't God create mankind? But when we got saved, God regened us, and now He wants to recreate Christ in total in our hearts and lives. In other words, we're like Jesus. And it goes on beyond that Jesus flows through us. Right? I'm telling you, this right here is what God desires for us to have. Matthew 5, Jesus Christ said, blessed are the fleshly in heart, blessed are the lustful in heart, blessed are the prideful in heart. No, He didn't say that, did He? What did He say? Blessed are the pure. So, now let's talk a little bit about having this pure heart. Okay? A pure heart. What keeps us from having a pure heart? Let's back up. What causes our heart to not be repulsive at this? What causes our heart to be acceptable? Accepting the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. What causes that? Let's go and look at Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. And here's the big question for us today. Titus 1. Verse 15. Notice here. Unto the pure, all things are what? Pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing. What? Titus 1, verse 15. Okay? He says, to the pure, all things are pure, but unto the defiled, that means contaminated. That means we're muddied up. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is what? Defiled. The mind and the conscience. Some people say the conscience is the spirit or in the mind. I believe your conscience is who you are. Because when I speak to me, I'm speaking to me. It's not a voice within me. It's not a sub-voice of me. You understand what I'm saying? My conscience is me. And I have the Holy Spirit of God that speaks also in me. And these two need to agree about things in my life. Amen? They need to agree. To be in agreement. But what keeps us from functioning with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye? What keeps us in this category right here? Very simply, you see this word right here where it says our conscience is defiled? You can sear your conscience. You know what a sear is? Last night I was trying to cook steak on a broken down stove and it was cold. The heat off the grill hardly even seared the steak. You know what a searing is? It means it's cauterized. And the things that we allow in our lives we've filled our lives so much of the flesh, lust of the flesh. We filled our lives with so much of lust of the eye. And we're so oftentimes prideful that we have seared the Holy Spirit. And when He tries to speak, we say, hey, that's not your territory, bud. That's mine. We do that. Don't speak to me about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Don't even do that. In other words, we continue to tolerate things in our lives we know that is not right. And out of the heart flows all the issues of our life. Every one of them. And our hearts have become seared. Our conscience have become seared. In other words, when you sear something, you cannot feel it. And therefore, the Holy Spirit of God, when He speaks, it's like a BB hitting a stone wall. Stone wall. And one thing I'm trying to do as a dad, and my wife, we're really trying to work on this, and I believe it's the key to a Christian life, whether young or old, is keeping your heart tender before Jesus. Fellas, listen to me. You and I think it's manly to be tough, not let things affect us. I'm going to tell you something. That right there is carnal mindedness. We need to be tender before the Lord, because there are four people in my house that expect me to follow God. I need to have a tender heart. There's a congregation that expects me to have a tender heart before God. Because if I can't have a tender heart before God, how will I desire the things of God? How can you desire the things of God? Apologize for my voice. Close with this passage of Scripture right here, 2 Kings chapter 22. And it all comes back down to this. Just simply saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do or not do, stop doing, begin doing, I'm going to do it. I want my heart tender. I'm tired of being a functioning off the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. I'm tired of things of not coming together for me. I begged you for many years or months, whatever, that you would begin to work. And you know why sometimes I see people grow? I see people grow and they surrender to Jesus. They surrender this. They surrender that. They surrender everything. And you know what? And it almost seems like everything they were trying to make happen in their life wasn't happening. And all of a sudden you start seeing them surrender, 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 surrender. I've seen it many times, even experienced. And it's almost like God just goes, whoop. Excuse it, but that's what it just seems like He does. He goes, whoop. And He's like, okay, I got all that stuff done for you. Now, next. God can do that, you know. How many of you like God to do that for you? I love it when He does that. But it makes me wonder why He doesn't do it sometimes. And it's because my heart has not graduated to the level that He wants it to be. The Spirit in you and in me lusteth to envy. God can He do something and He just, boom, it's done, right? Can He do that? He's God. Is anything too hard for God? No. Nothing's too hard for God. But why? 2 Kings 22, verse 19. This king was in a predicament. He needed something from God. Verse 19, chapter 22, 2 Kings. Notice this. Read this with me. Because thine heart was what? Tender. And thou humblest thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place. In other words, when his heart listened to the thing, the beef that Jesus had against the Pharisee is that they heard, but they didn't understand. Let him that hath a ear, let him hear. You see? And this is why we can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, and Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, year after year after year, and we see very little growth in our Christian lives. It's because our heart, whether it be in sin or out of sin, we've gone calloused to the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. Calloused. We're seared. God says here, because thy heart was tender, and you humbled and hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should come, become as desolate and accursed, and as rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have, notice this, heard thee. Then James says, what? He said, but when we do ask, we ask because it's come from that side of the heart, that old nature heart. God says, no. Everything in your life shouldn't be dictated by the lust of flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. All our decisions should be encompassed from the database of God's love. God's holy love. When we make decisions, when we respond, when we talk to people, when we have this motive right here, the Bible calls it love unfinished. Love unfinished. We'll see God begin to answer prayers. Didn't He say if we humble ourselves, call upon His name, do what? What will happen? We'll see great and mighty things. Right? What are you praying to God to do in your life this morning? We expect God to hear us, but sometimes we don't hear Him. Have we gone so far in life that we've been feeling the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life, and we've forgotten to hear what that voice is all about? Have we? We stopped growing, stopped going, stopped giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Oh Lord, may our hearts be tender before Thee. May our hearts be tender. Lord, You tender our hearts through trials and situations. Sometimes, Father, You do not wish for those things to happen. But that's the only way You can speak. Father, I pray today that with Your people here, maybe You're working on a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, a child, a Christian, to have that tender heart before God. But we can call upon Thee, and Thou wilt show us great and mighty things which we know us not. We can come to Thee humbly, Lord. And You tell us, well, You'll heal our land. We'll hear from heaven. Father, I believe You're doing that work here today. There's people today that need prayer answers. They've been praying for some time. Perhaps our heart isn't right with Thee. That's why we're seeing things that see ourselves say things and do things we shouldn't do. There's a part of our heart, Lord, that's still encompassed by the old man, that old nature. Lord, help us to surrender that today. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if God spoke to you in some capacity today, young or old,